Greetings and welcome to Cross Culture Church Tuesday Noon Bible Study. Oh, what a joy it is to be in the presence of God. As scripture says, if two or three are gathered in His name, there He will be in the midst. And of course, we are gathered in His name. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we are here feasting upon the Word of God. We're breaking the bread of life out of John 6. And I'll not retrogress back up or move to the left or right, but we're going to go forward and move on to verse 63. If I start going down, going back in, then we won't get forward, and we got a lot to dig into today. 6 and 43 says, therefore Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, which if you would understand this part about murmuring, they didn't have the guts to say something out loud. They get among each other and start asking questions when they should have been asking Jesus. Now, they're right there in his midst, and he's talking to them, and they're going to turn to each other and say, what do you think that is? Why don't you? He's right there. Just say what it is you got to say, because he's in a teaching mode, right? Jesus is in a teaching mode. He's talking to them about himself and revealing to them what? The will of God. Right? So here in 43, he says, look, don't talk among yourselves. He said, listen, let me explain it to you. Obviously, you're not getting it. Let me explain it to you. No man, in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. What a powerful statement. He said, y'all talking among yourselves and not really understand what I'm trying to tell you. He's still trying to tell him that he is the Father on display. And what he's here to do is to reclaim and get the remnant that is to be saved. All right. So in saying that, he's making a declaration here. And this is the second time that he's saying this. But look at what he's saying. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. When you looked at this, and even if you didn't look at it before and you're looking at it now, what words stick out to you? Because I want to talk about each one of these verses, because it's spiritual significance in each part.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Unless the Father sent him.
Except the Father which hath sent him draw him. Right. That stuck out to you? Okay. Okay. Why? Why did that stick out to you?
Because you have to come through Jesus to get to the Father. You just can't come up like anybody off the street and just come to me. You have to have the relationship with Jesus in order to get to the Father.
Okay.
I will.
Oh, okay. That stuck out to you. I will do it. I will raise him up at the last day. All right. So we got three different parts here. And let me dive into the first one. It says, no man can come to me. Do you know why they can't?
Because the Father has to draw them. The Father has to unction them to want to come.
Why?
Because you can't do anything on your own.
Why?
Because we're flesh. We don't even have the sense to know what to do.
Why don't we have the sense? We got sense to do everything else we do.
Sin.
All right. We had a relationship.
Right.
with God. But through disobedience, sin entered into the world and cut us off from our we were designed to fellowship with him, right? When he blew the breath of life in us, we were connected more than at the hip. We were connected through the soul. He covered us. I mean, we were right there. They walked together. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. But because of sin, there came a rebellion, right? And so we rebel against all basically known authority. We don't want to pay our taxes. We don't want to drive 55 miles an hour. We want to wear what we want to wear. We want to go where we want to go. Children want to do what they want to do, even though the more we tell them, the more they buck and say not. Okay? So what he's saying here, listen, I know you got a problem. And arbitrarily, you would not even be trying to ascribe to God at all. But because of me, you're being drawn to him. The word draw there, let me just get into the real meat of it. The word draw there does not mean that he's overshadowing or commanding us past our will. But because we are connected to God spiritually, whether it be cut off or not, the connection is there. The terminal is just not plugged in through sin. OK, so there's a way that God can connect to us through this drawing that makes it easier for us to get past the rebellion stage and to get in the acceptance stage. All right. And what is it that causes that to get us past that, to get to where he wants us to be, to where we say, OK, we give up our will to him? Grace. It's we are saved by grace, right? It's the grace that has been given to us, and that grace is what allows us to go past our will to receive. But you don't get that grace unless what? Jesus is exposed. You see what I mean? All right, let's look at it like this from another scripture. If I be lifted up, I will what?
Draw.
Okay, so when you see him high and lifted up, the grace is given for you to receive. You have a choice. It's easier for you to make the choice, yes or no. Now, when Jesus is lifted up and you're preaching, does everybody receive?
No.
But see, there is grace for that remnant that he's speaking to receive. All right. I know it's going to jog you, but I want you to understand what's going on. This scripture right here, I wanted to expound upon it from the standpoint that we are all evangelists. We are all evangelists. That's the first thing. And that's through the ministry of reconciliation. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? And the word of our testimony. All right. So we have an obligation to tell somebody else about how good God has been to us. And when we do that, whose name do we mention?
Jesus.
And so when we lift him up, the grace is made available. Now, this idea of evangelism is such a beautiful word, because when Jesus says, I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men, it's easier for you to think about being able to go fishing, because you can only catch so many fish at a time, and only so many fish are going to be pulled into the boat. Right. So it's not on you how many fish you're going to catch. It's the bait that you use. You see what I mean?
To catch the fish.
So when you go out there to fish, let's say And I'm going to use the example of myself. If I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, okay, I want you to use me to, for your glory, and lift up Jesus every chance you get, I'm really lifting up the Father, but they can understand it through Jesus. And so when I talk to whoever I talk to, I'm only going to be able to talk to so many people a day unless I get on the internet, unless I get on the radio, unless I get on TV. You understand what I'm saying? So there's only so many people that I'm going to have a chance to witness to, but there's only so many people that are going to receive. The key is not to worry about that. It's to minister. It's to put it out there. We are not to worry about how many people receive the message. Our responsibility is to give the message. Give the message. And see, I think that's why a lot of people have problems, because they in the back of their minds, they said, well, what happened if I go out here and then the people don't receive? I had that problem. I did. When he first called me, I said, well, just suppose they don't believe. He said, why are you worrying about that? You just do your part. I'm going to do my part. My grace is going to draw that remnant that's going to be brought in. All right. So we got, no man can't just regularly do it except the Father, which has sent me to show mankind truth. To show mankind truth. The Father shows mankind truth through his Son. All right. Draw him or give grace to him, and then I will raise him up at the last day. I want y'all to think about this. This word raise, at this whole phrase here, I will raise him at the last day, connotates completeness. All right. Not only will I save you, I'm going to keep you all the way to the end and finish it at the resurrection. Do we know that when we die, it's not done? Mm-hmm. Right? Right. What's the finality? That we get raised from the dead, that we be with him, what? Eternity. Forever.
Eternity.
All right? So understand what he's saying. Not only am I going to draw you, not only am I going to keep you, but I'm going to bring you up at the last day and finish it out. See, that's the finality of it. He is going to give us everlasting life, and we're going to have it, because he said, I'm going to raise you up. All right, let me move on. Boy, there's a lot of meat in here now. 45. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Boy, I know y'all want to jump in on that one, right? What is the prerequisite? What has already gone forth that he can say this?
They have to believe prophets or the prophets.
Think about the group that he's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, they are the ones that all the way up until this point have been given any sort of revelation knowledge of God. Nobody else has cared anything about God. Had no angels come. Had no visions been had to anybody else except who? Yeah. So he's saying, listen, you already heard. You're going on works that and prophecies. You've been living on that the Savior's coming, right? That the only atonement for their sins is to do what? Sacrifice, right? The only really presence that they've had a chance to really see is the Ark of the Covenant, right? They've had the tablets. They got Moses' rod that budded. They got, you see, I mean, these are all of the things that God has been giving them bits and pieces all the way down and said, guess what? Now, when the Son comes, we're going to be able to culminate this thing, and now you're going to have right standing. Because after Jesus died, what happened? The veil in the temple was rent. And so now you don't have to go to the high priest no more. Now you don't have to go buy sacrifices no more. Now you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. We ain't got to go through all that self-work stuff no more. Huh? See how good this is. But guess what he says? It was written in the prophet that they shall be all taught of God. So you can't say you don't know.
Right.
You can't say revelation knowledge or knowledge of God has not been on display, right? That every man, therefore, that have heard, listen, and what do you know about that word and? It's connecting. You there's a lot of people that have heard. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Lot of people have heard, but what did he say? And hath learned of the Father. What does learning mean? Learn means you went over it enough time that it's now have knowledge of it. Huh? I know how to drive a car because I did what? I practiced. I had to get up under the wheel. Huh? And I had to work with it till now I know how to turn just enough. And hopefully I know not to take my foot off the gas. You know what I mean? I'm just making this as plain as possible. But he's saying, listen, it's been put out here. It's written in the prophets. So it's been out here for a long time. Right? So God, is he not plenteous in mercy?
Yes, he is.
He plenteous in mercy. So therefore, you got something to do. You got to learn of the Father, then you're going to come. Because when the Son comes, is the Son not the Father on display? Right? So when you see compassion, mercy, and grace, and you've been looking and having a will to learn of the Father, then this resonates in you. Right? All right. Let's go on because it's getting ready to get deep. And I know y'all got y'all waders on today and your boots. So let's get on into it. 46. Not that any man has seen the Father save he which is of God has seen the Father. What you think? All right. Not that any man has seen him. He said, listen, I'm talking to you from a standpoint of knowledge, not of rumor. Right? Because they know ain't nobody seen God. The only somebody that even had a similar presence of being close enough to him was Moses. And what did he do for him? He said, look, You can't see me, son, really, but I'm going to put my hand over your eyes so that it, because you're going to get blinded. There's just too much light for you. So I just let you see the back part of the, what, train that filled the temple. Boy, that's something, boy. He's like, oh, that's why when he came down, his face was lit up. They said, boy, you'd have been somewhere. Yo, what's wrong with you? Right? You Bible students, you. So no man has seen the Father save. He was, so he's verifying. He's verifying who he is. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, or right now, come on, pay attention. I say unto you, he that believeth unto me hath what?
Everlasting
life. I got so much written down. I might not be able to get to it. Oh, grace. Let's see. All divine discoveries of God are made through Christ, all divine powers exerted. Rebellion of the will against the right dictates of the understanding. Our carnal mind is at enmity against God, right? But it's the grace of God upon our will that causes that drawing to take effect. These are some of the little notes I want to try to get that stuff out of, because when I get in this bread of life, we're getting ready to get deep. 48. I am the bread of life. Now, let's talk about bread. When he is talking to them about the bread of life, we have to understand that he's talking about physical food or spiritual food.
Spiritual.
He's talking about food for the soul. Mm-hmm. All right? And he breaks it down in verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna. Where did they eat it?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness and are dead. Now, think of why he's talking to them. He's telling them and relating to them physical truth and spiritual truth. Right? The physical truth is this. I and the Father are one. I'm here demonstrating to you the Father's will. And I can do that because I was with him. You've never even seen him. But I was with him. Right? So because he was with him, he says, here's the difference. See, when I started talking about bread, and y'all start talking to me about what we got when we were out in the wilderness, he said, you're not understanding how this worked. He says, your fathers did eat manna where?
In the wilderness.
The wilderness experience was what? It was a test for them. They had a wilderness experience because of rebellion in their heart. They went round and around and did not get into the promised land because of what?
Disobedience.
So listen to what he's saying here. He said, listen, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna what? In trials, tribulations, and tests, which they failed, right? And what? Are dead. So listen to this. You can have heavenly food but not believe and die. They saw the food and ate it. But did they believe unto life? They stayed disobedient, hard-headed, and did not even enter in. They died. The bread that they were eating really couldn't keep them alive anyway. Think about that. The bread was just to sustain them during their journey. But what he got bread that keeps what alive? Your soul. All right. 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's trying to tell them the bread for your body is only good temporarily. But what I got for your soul is eternal. See, this is what we have to understand. One, bread has to do with what? Appetite. We have an appetite for food. In order to live on this earth, we got to eat, right? So it has to do with appetite. He says, this is the bread which come down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. So your desire for spiritual food will keep you alive. If you just eating for your flesh, you gonna die. Because it will not keep you. You know why it's not gonna keep you? Because your body is under sentence of death anyway. Right?
Yep.
Grass withereth, flower fadeth, so man gonna go back to the ground that gave it. Right? Yeah, our bodies are under sentence of death anyway.
Right.
What is Christ saying? I'm trying to get your soul saved. Now, can I get deep? I have to ask you. I have to ask for permission because I don't want to wade out there.
Right.
And then you say, "Ooh, he done went over there and all over there." Do we really understand death? The word death means separation, right? When you die, your body is separated from your spirit. So it means separation. Right? Anything that's dead, there's a separation. You got no more light. You got no more life. You got no more energy. You've been separated from all of them things that have caused you to do all of that you're dead. Right? You have a microphone or this thing I got in my hand. If the battery goes out, it's what? It's dead. You see what I mean? So now nothing can communicate. All right. when we leave here without Christ, which is the light of the world, if we leave here without Him, which is that feeds us and calls us to have spiritual nourishment and creativity and all the rest of the things that once God comes in starts to illuminate, and we have eyes, do we know that if we don't receive Him, our eyes are dark, and we can't see. Without Christ, you can't even see the kingdom. All right. The flip side of that is everybody that's not saved, that are dead to God, is in the dark. So what really is hell? Hell is being in a place with no light, no hope, no love, no grace, no nothing, and existence with nothing. I know how it is just being in the dark and don't have no light. It's frightening to even think about it. Little kids, they say, can you just turn on the night light? Think about an existence. You don't know whether you're going to hear anything. I'm just saying, when you're void and there's nothing there except darkness, you cry, can't nobody hear you. You talking, nobody's answering. There's no light. There's no love. There's no compassion. That's rough. And then it could be some pain, which they said there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. So if you don't know where it's coming from, but it's hurting, you can't tell nobody. You can't see nothing. That's hell.
Yes.
That's hell. So I had to ask y'all if y'all wanted to know about it, because it gets kind of rough, man. But if you don't have the light, then what's left?
Darkness.
It there ain't no in between. Ain't no dim. There ain't no shadow. You guess what? You don't even have a shadow if you don't have light.
That's right.
Right? So if you are void of that, then what really do you know? Not much. So you're being dead to God means that you're stumbling around trying to do the best you can, knowing not even what you're doing. I love that. That after reading that and reading some of that stuff, that Proverbs 14:12, when it said, there's a way that seems right to a man. All a real man that's without God do is stumble around through life trying stuff that 90% of the time don't work. People say, I just keep marrying the wrong person. You know why you keep marrying the wrong person? Because you can't see the right person. Think about it. You can't see the right person. Your eyes of your understanding have not been opened. People say, but I'm saved. I believe. It's more to it than believing. You got to do something. You got to let that you believe start to change that which you are. Woo, I didn't want to go there, but 51, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my what?
Flesh,
which I give for the life of the world. Y'all already got it now, right? He's saying, listen, believing on me is eating. It takes faith, all right? The basic scenario is this. If you're hungry and a person sets out a whole banquet meal for you and you look at the food but don't start eating it or believe that it's good enough for you to eat, then are you going to starve to death?
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there. Right? So this is what he's saying. I'm here in front of you. Let's go back. Then he said, look, the work that I'm telling you so that you can that you can do to get this bread of life is to believe on me. Right?
Right.
If we back up, he's just reiterating. Right here, he's saying, listen, you got to take it and eat it. But what he was saying was, you got to believe on it and trust it. Just like you do that bread that you eat and live off of in the physical, you got to take it and what? Digest it. Ooh, revelation knowledge. Fresh, fresh. When you eat food, what happens? You digest it and it goes into your body for what?
Nourishment.
So when we take Jesus in as the bread, it goes into our soul, connects to our body, that word of God, right? And connects with us and joins us to him and brings in life. Eternal. Right? That's how you're going to live. The bread that just deal with the physical, only temporary. But what I give you, you're going to live on eternally. All right. Now, 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves and said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That was a good question.
It was a sensible question.
Because they understood not spiritual things. They didn't understand spiritual things. They were set up unto what? Works. Right? They were set up unto works. I got to get a sacrifice. I got to come to days of atonement. I got to wash my hands. They were all set up on external things.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So, can we get caught up on external things? I go to church on Sunday. I don't wear pants. I wear, you know, it's stated that if I do this, I ain't saved. So, you know what I'm saying? You can put all these rules and regulations and things in. But does that constitute believing, digesting this word, right, that mixes with our soul and causes our eyes of our understanding to be open?
That was a hard saying for them, since they really was caught up in what to eat and what not to touch. And
right.
So this was very difficult for them.
Right.
To digest and
right. But now think about why he said that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Because
the drawing will bring past all of that to where he is right now. Right? I come to seek and save what? That which was lost. You getting it now? It was a hard saying for those who were not really being drawn to him. And it's going to be a hard saying for those who you witness to some, but some are going to receive it. You see what I mean? So it's us who takes the grace and mercy out here through Jesus Christ and offer it.
That's right.
And then he is going to draw those that are the remnant. See, this is what we miss all the time. He came to get a remnant. All the world was lost. He said, but there will be what?
A remnant.
He said, I'm coming after it. Huh? Everybody not going down with the ship. The ship need to go down, right? The ship ought to go down, right? He said, but I'm so gracious, I'm going to reach down here and save a remnant. Guess who in that remnant? I am. Hallelujah. You all who are listening to this broadcast, there's some hands just went up. Yeah. They said, how can we give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life what? In you. Look, in your soul, the light is off. The room is dark. You stumbling around doing the best you can. But I got it here for you. Here's the light. You know he said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, come on, Bible readers. Right?
That's right.
Then he goes on and he's saying, listen, y'all stumbling over this. Look at it spiritually. What did he tell Nicodemus? What did he tell Nicodemus? Look, Nick,
You can't work it out like that. Surely you can't go back in your mother's womb like that. That is of the flesh is flesh. This is of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that you must be what? Born again. So here we got some, more people like Nicodemus that he's trying to knock on the door and draw him in, right? If you open the door, what happens? He gonna come in and sup with you. Ho ho! Come on, Bible students. All right? He telling them, you got no life in you. 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will what? Raise him up at the last day. Listen, I'm going to do a complete job. I'm not only going to start, I'm going to finish it. Right? I'm not giving you just a little bit. I'm not going to start you on the journey and leave you by yourself. I'm going to come back and get you, and you're going to have this eternal life. Because guess what? You're going to die in the flesh. But you don't want to die without him and then be dead eternally. Right? Or in the dark eternally. Jesus. Bring him up on the last day. 55. For my flesh is what?
Real.
It's meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What's he saying? I got not only what your appetite desires, but I got some nourishment that keeps you going when you get dehydrated. We talked about what water does and why people need water. And if you don't have water, you get dehydrated, right? And because our bodies are made up of a whole lot of water, right? So he's saying here, my blood is going to be like that nourishment that water is for, and that bread is going to be like what you need too. Now, can I get deep again? Can I get deep again? I love getting deep. You're talking about body and blood, right? How about Messiah and mediator? He's our savior in the flesh, but he's our mediator through the blood.
Right.
Huh? Right. Unless you washed in the blood, then what? You can't even come. You can be believing, but if you ain't washed, then what? Oh, I believe that Jesus is good. I believe that Jesus is a prophet. But if you don't believe that he shed his blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, you done missed the mediator part.
That's right.
We can't come unless we've been washed and come before the king. You can't come before the Father dirty.
Right.
You can't come before the Father halfway. You got to come all the way. Messiah and mediator. Blood and bread. Body and blood. Eating and drinking implies appetite. The gospel is a gospel of flesh and blood, which is good for us. The eating and drinking implies appetite. Next, it implies application. Not just looking, but feeding. You got to feed upon the word of God.
That's right.
You got, because guess what? Every bite brings more revelation. The more you study, the more you know.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
All right, so not only do you have an appetite, you got to use some application. Not just looking, but feeding. Number three, it's a delight to your soul. Huh? When you eat that bread and drink that blood, you get excited on the inside. I know every time I think about his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Huh? So we got a delight in that thing. Y'all got a delight in that thing?
Amen.
Do y'all get happy when you think about what it's going to be? I get happy now, even though it don't look good, knowing that it ain't going to stay not good.
That's right.
It came to pass.
Yeah.
It came to pass. Now, not only do we have a delight, but we can know that when we have nourishment, and if we depend upon Him, He's going to support us, comfort us, and take care of us.
Amen.
So when we got that bread, then we know when we got it, we got all we need right there. My soul is happy. See, that's the big difference is fresh. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. So I'm happy if I got $1 million, but I got joy if I got 10.
Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Big difference. Because when my million gone, am I going to be happy? Probably not. But if I got my 10 and that get gone, I got joy because I know he the one that supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I won't know that unless I study. I won't know that unless I feed on Him.
That's right.
Woo! Boy, y'all some Bible students here today. All right. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, what do they do? They dwell in me and I in him. Ooh. Remember what I was telling you about that digestion? When your food digests, it assimilates into your body and all the cells get what they need to thrive.
That's right.
Mm. On a consistent basis. Right? In the natural, it lasts for a while, and 4 or 5 hours later, 7 or 8 hours later, boy, we hungry again. But not so in the spirit. Whew. My Lord. But see, this is the key. You're dwelling in Him, and I in Him, so now the Father has got a connection in there. Right?
Yes.
Now we connected to the Father.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
We looking to connect to the higher power. People talk about, I consider this can a higher power. You must be kidding me. Y'all know where I get that from, right? You know, there's these things I hear that's supposed to help you get past your drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and then you have to ascribe something to this higher power. You better get some bread of life.
That's right.
And digest it. So it can get on the inside. That'll start to push all that other crap out. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said what? If you be in Christ. Huh? Ooh. See, all of this stuff start to make sense now. When you start talking about having bread and blood. And so you got the physical and you got the blood. That circulating in you. I got a scripture here to talk about. Okay, it was in Genesis 9:4. I don't give y'all scripture, but I give you Genesis 9:4. In the old, the flesh and the blood, eating the flesh and the blood was prohibited.
Right, exactly.
It was what? It was not what? Kosher. He said, but I came to fulfill the law.
Amen.
All that you've been hoping for, that don't work no more. Huh? Lord, I can't eat that which is unclean.
Mm-hmm.
He said, boy, what I said is clean.
Is clean.
If you bless it and eat it, what y'all know what it means? If I bless it. If I put God on it, it's going to cleanse it and you good. Hallelujah. Huh? Just a little tidbit on that. See, he was hurting them all the way. If you had been here, went through Hebrews. Hebrews, he kicked every sacred cow that they had over. He did. He said, I'm greater than the angels. I'm greater than the prophets. He said, I came to fulfill all of that y'all been hoping for and show you that this is the way.
Right.
So here they were thinking, not your blood, because you can't even mingle eating eating flesh and blood. You can't even do that. They went all the way. Just here it is, all the way back here in the scripture where it said that's prohibited. He said, you not understanding. You looking at it the wrong way. This blood I got ain't like that blood you talking about. Oh! All right, let me get on because y'all know I done got excited. All right, 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, or he that got faith in me, he that digest this truth that I'm revealing, even he shall live by me. You see the connection? He said, I'm trying to get you to the Father. Them works and stuff y'all talking about ain't nothing. You trying to back up and talk about some manna that your fathers ate while they were going through trial, tribulation, and test and failed? Huh? He said, I'm trying to connect you with the Father that you've been trying to get with through these works and stuff. I'm here. I'm the connection point. 58. What time is it?
I don't want to get past
12:56.
4 minutes. 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and are dead, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Mm. 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Guess what? Somebody heard it.
That's right.
Huh? Somebody heard it.
Remnant.
Ah, she got it. The remnant. Huh? He came to his own. His own received or not, but yet there was a remnant. His grace pulled him out of there. All right? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples talked among themselves about, listen, or they didn't have the guts to say, Father, Jesus. That's kind of rough there, man. But instead of saying, can you just help us a little bit further, they murmured within themselves. Can we not talk to folk on the telephone and text and tweet about stuff we don't understand and then go to God and say, I need some revelation? You who are listening to this broadcast, because these people here, they don't do that. They go straight to the Father and get all their revelation.
Amen.
Amen. He said, okay, y'all talking among yourselves and ain't nobody talking to me. He said, do this offend you, so let me bring it to you. Hey, you got a problem with what I just said? Mm-hmm. Was that not a valid question after they had seen him do marvelous works?
That's right.
They were following him, watching him do, listen, more stuff than we can read about, because they say all the things that he did, we don't even have enough books to contain it. Right?
Right.
He said, what, this offend you? You got a problem too? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, what? Now what you gonna say if you saw me go back where I came from? Good question, because what? Only angels were known climbing Jacob's ladder. Come on, Bible student. Going up and down. Right? He said, so what and if you shall see me doing that? You gonna have a problem with that too? I just got through telling you this. So what if you see me go up and down, you gonna have a problem? Good question. Good question. So you gonna have a problem with that too? Now, here's the answer. 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what?
Spirit
and they are life. Boy, look, you can take a hold of that and run with it right there. This is strong right here. It's the Spirit of God that makes alive. And that's what brings the people. When you allow God to work through you, it's the Spirit of God that'll quicken them. Mm-hmm. Huh? Amen. I love that word, quickening. Quickening. Whew. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some among you that what? That believe not. Hey, there's some folk that go to this church that believe not. They sitting up in here every Sunday. They don't believe that. They ain't believing it. If they did, they do better. They did, they'd act better. They did, they think better. All right, I'm stop billing. All right. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believeth not and who should betray him. How would he know that? He and the Father commune. He said, listen, that the Father give me is mine. So I know them that are mine. My job is to go out there and have them to figure out whether they want to be mine or not. Right? And when I offer them the grace, do they accept the grace?
Right.
Or do they reject the grace? See, I used to get sad when people said, no, I ain't ready. I don't get sad no more. Because some days you go fishing, you don't catch no fish. But that don't mean I stop fishing.
That's true.
I just always ask God for a lake, a pond, or a stream that got some fish in it. That's just what I ask for. But my desire is to go fishing wherever I'm led. You know, wherever I'm led. All right. Whew. Therefore said I unto you that no man cometh unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He said, look, I just want y'all to know this. I already knew. And that's why I said, don't no man come. He said, because that I got, it is a hard saying. But I already knew that somebody was going to come in. I knew who wasn't going to believe and who was. My job is to put it out there. And is that not your job? See, it ain't your job to know who's saved and not saved. It ain't my job to look around in the church and say, you ain't saved, you a tear, you weak.
Right, right.
He said, don't be trying to pluck nobody up and trying to figure out because they look pious and everything that they the ones ought to make it and them that kind of look like they got a hangover and all that. You don't know nothing about them people.
Tattoos.
Yeah, they piercing nose, all got. You don't know nothing about them. This could be a phase, and God's still working on them, and you don't see the end result. Say end result.
End result.
That's what I'm talking about. We don't see the end result. Who would have looked at me and said, "Boy, you gonna be preaching the gospel?" Some of them said, "Not him. Mm-hmm. That guy there. Nah, he ain't gonna be no preacher now. No." No. He said, that's why I said, no man come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12. Hey, so he had a lot of disciples. A lot of people were following him. The 12 was still there now. He said, will you also go away? Then we got a big mouth. Here we got Mr. Big Mouth. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We can't find nobody else to teach us and do miracles and doing all the stuff you're doing. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto them, have not I chosen you 12? and one of you is a devil. But he just said up here.
He knew.
He said, I know. I know who's going to believe, and I know everybody. I know what the deal is. He said, one of y'all devil, just to let you know, I know about everybody. Jesus spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I finished John 6.
Amen.
All right. Being taught of God is to be enlightened by your understanding. You can go to Isaiah 54:13 and Jeremiah 31:34 and look up some of those things that kind of talk to you around that. Talking about the darkness passing on from this world to the next has to do with light or darkness in the state of torment, or will it be one of light under the bright sun of Jesus with joy, peace, and love and praise to God. Amen. Amen. So I think I touched on pretty much all of it. And I'm so excited that we got through with John 6. So, Father, as we have heard that you are what we need in our soul so that we can be nourished and connected on a regular basis to you, depending on you for our understanding and truth, revelation, love, mercy, grace, peace. Oh, thank you so much for it. We know that this word will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper where unto it is sent. Now, as we leave this place, but we're not from your presence, we ask that you encamp your reins round and about us to protect us as we go to our next destination. Lead us and guide us. Keep the eyes of our understanding open, Lord God. Let us see what's erroneous, and let us see what's truth. We call it all done by faith in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen.